This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
One of us has to do it, Paul. And
you want to do it?
I don't really want to blow out my voice the way Woods does. Can you handle it for us today?
me.
Ready? Yeah! Guttural scream on a victory Wednesday.
Well,
good morning.
Pass out.
Why does he do that? You look lightheaded over there. Good morning, everybody.
Why does he do that?
That's how Woods usually starts a post-victory morning after the Padres finally snapped their five-game losing streak last night. Welcome to Ben and Woods, minus the Woods
hurts
today. Yeah, you're done for the day. When we need you the most today.
Yeah.
This is a day when you're actually expected to do a ton of talking because our beloved, our one and only Stephen Woods, is taking the day off for a very good reason. Woodsy taking his kids to Disneyland today. It's a Disney day, and I think it's something that every dad, every parent should do every once in a while with their children. If you live in Southern California, it's a rite. It's a tradition. I feel like we'd go once a year maybe when I was growing up. Hopefully on a day where you get taken out of school makes it even like 100% better. I mean, it's one thing going up to Disneyland on a weekend, which is fun. I mean, you're never going to turn that down as a kid. But there's nothing better than getting to skip a school day and going to Disneyland for the day. And that's what Woodsy's doing with Bo and Taylor this morning. So you've got two-thirds of the cast. Let's introduce our executive producer, imaging director, all-around great guy, and now co-host for the day, Paul Reindl. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
I would be Ben Higgins, and that would be your duo for the next 4 hours.
Let's get it.
As we get into it today. And I'm glad the Padres won last night, Paulie. We'll get into all the game coming up because I was kind of in a grouchy mood yesterday.
Okay.
And you know me, I'm not a grouchy person.
It's rare.
I don't have a lot of pet peeves. I try to just let, as Wood said, as I was driving away on vacation last Wednesday, I was listening to you guys 1 week ago today. And he said about Ben, he said, it's like water off a duck's back. The guy just does not let stuff get to him. And I do pride myself on that. Everybody, you know, you've got annoying things that happen throughout the day. You can't get through life without at least 10 annoying things happening every day. And if you let all of them bother you, you're just going to be a miserable, grumpy person. So, yeah, I still have those annoying things. I just try not to let them really get to me for more than a second or two. But one thing that always bothers me, unexpected car trouble is the worst.
Oh, no.
Just the worst. And I was driving home from the show yesterday, getting off the freeway, Manchester and Encinitas, and I didn't see anything. But all of a sudden, as I'm kind of turning down the exit ramp, I just hear this boom, like I hit something, you know, under my car. And I look in the rearview mirror, like, what was it? I still don't see anything in the road, but it was a loud noise. And immediately, the emergency tire light goes on, low pressure, alert, pull over, you know. And fortunately, I have those run flat tires, and I was able to go the extra mile and a half with my hazard lights on and get to the Discount Tire in Encinitas. Giant hole in my rear left tire.
Oh, no.
I mean, not fixable, like not like a pinprick, like a nail or anything, but there was an actual like gash.
Jeez.
In my rear left tire.
What'd you hit?
I still don't know. He didn't know. He couldn't even speculate as to what it was. He goes, that is really weird. Usually these tires will stand up to something, but this is a huge blowout.
Huh.
So, of course, you've got I had to cancel my trainer that I go to on Wednesday or Tuesdays. Everything is completely chaos. My entire day, my plan for everything is thrown into chaos and have to wait around. Now, they did a great job, as they always do. Fortunately, I got my tires there. They were still under warranty and they were able to fix it. I think I ended up paying like $40 total for a new tire, which is pretty cool. Because it was under warranty, so there was just like minimal charges, like disposal fee and everything. But new tire right on there, and you know, an hour and a half later, I was out of there and on with my day. But I do that unexpected car trouble is just absolutely the worst thing because you can never plan for it. It's always right when you just don't want it to happen. And you've got other things on your mind, more important things you want to get to, and it sets you behind, and you've got, like, the rest of the week now, I'm, like, going to be catching up with everything that I wanted to do yesterday that I didn't get to do.
Do smarter people, when it comes to cars, just never have car troubles?
I don't think so.
Like, are they able to, I mean, they do the preventative care throughout the year, their regular oil changes.
I do too.
Do they check their tires? Like, I do the maintenance stuff, like oil changes. I go and get my oil changed when it needs to be done. Outside of that, I'm not super handy when it comes to cars. So does Joe Car Guy out there like never have to really go to the mechanic because they just take such good care of their car ahead of time?
But like something like what happened to me yesterday, really you can't avoid it. You can't plan for it. You can't do preventative maintenance. If you have a blowout, you have a blowout. I had a
How often are you ever just driving around aimlessly to pass time? You're always going somewhere. You're going to work. You're going home.
This would be
from
a great time for me to have car trouble right now because I'm really not going anywhere important.
Like, you're always going to, it's going to screw up your day. You're going to be late for wherever you're going. It's awful. I hate it so much.
So I did get through it. This is like 2 weeks after I had a coolant leak and had to get that fixed. Then maybe I had not maintained my radiator properly, and that one's on me. But that they seemed like that one was pretty unexpected as well. So, you know, we don't see this problem. And it was, you know, they fixed it. And it didn't take too long. But, yeah, the annoying, unexpected car trouble does get me into a bit of a bad mood yesterday.
Yeah.
So I am glad that the Padres didn't make it worse last night in a 6-4 win over the Cincinnati Reds. It's an interesting game. We will certainly be talking about it today. We'll talk about Mike Schilt's big gamble during the game in a situation that I don't remember having ever seen in a Padres game before. Maybe other fans have during a catcher's interference where a manager actually gets a choice to take a run off the board. And I tweeted, the comparison would be, all right, your guy just kicked a 38-yard field goal, and you took a 3-0 lead, but the defense committed an offsides penalty, and if you want to take the first down, you can have first and 10 at the 20 mm-hmm. going in the red zone, but you have to take the 3 points off the board, right. And you're risking, of course, there's no guarantee you're going to get those points again. Now, you're still in a field goal range.
That happens fairly often in the NFL.
And it makes sense because a touchdown is worth more than even two field goals. You know, you feel like if you can get one touchdown every two possessions, it's better than getting two field goals. So football coaches will generally take points off the board in that situation, unless it's, you know, it's late in the game, that 3 points wins, you know you're in good shape. In baseball, though, it's a very different situation, and the Padres had already squandered an opportunity earlier in the game with the bases loaded, nobody out, and they came up with zero runs. Ugh. Zero runs in that situation.
Ugh.
And instead, he gambles with Manny Machado coming to the plate. Manny Machado was coming to the plate in the first situation. This time, it worked out very well for the San Diego Padres, and we will talk about it. We'll go through all of it this morning. We also have, I guess the other reason why you could be annoyed is, and you sent this to me, and I know a lot of Tier 1s were looking at it, the conversation about the Padres yesterday on MLB Network featuring Brian Kenny and Dan O'Dowd.
This video, dude.
Speculating.
Oh my God.
About not only whether the Padres should trade Fernando Tatis Jr.,
which is stupid to begin with.
But even more kind of condescendingly, more outrageously, then going, I don't know if anyone's really going to take him. You can try, but I don't think there'd be any takers out
there
for Fernando Tatis Jr.
You'd be lucky to find a team that would be interested in taking a Fernando Tatis Jr.
It really, in my mind, and I'll try to explain my thinking behind it. I know instinctually a lot of Padres fans are going, what? I mean, they're not going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr.
They're not.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
But in my mind, it was one of the dumbest sports television segments I have maybe ever watched yesterday, with two seemingly intelligent baseball people, one a former general manager, the other a longtime broadcaster who has talked baseball and hosted on MLB Network now for many years, was on ESPN before that, but does seem to have a weird animosity now toward the San Diego Padres.
Oh, yeah.
There's been now a couple of instances of Brian Kenny just dumping for seemingly no reason on the San Diego Padres. And I think this goes along with it as well, because when we talk about it, it won't take, I mean, I think you all know why it would be kind of insane to even think about trading Fernando Tatis Jr. at this moment, right?
Yes.
You can kind of understand the reasons why that would be a bad move for you know, Eric Katsenda and Padres ownership at this moment to go, you know what we really need to do right now?
Let's shake things up.
The state of our franchise, we really need to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. And then, if you haven't heard it yet, and I'll save this part for when we discuss it a little bit later in the show. The possible trade that they threw out there as to what might make it worth it for the Padres to deal Fernando Tatis Jr. was so insanely ridiculous and insulting. I can't believe that this was a segment on actual network television.
The MLB Network.
The MLB Network.
Major League Baseball.
Like if the Golf Channel, if those guys had just started, hey, maybe the Padres should trade Tatis, I might excuse it because you don't know anything about baseball.
You know, Beavis and Butthead in the Mornings out in Cleveland or something.
Snot and Storch say, yeah, Padres should trade Tatis. Fine. You know what? You can be ignorant. We all spout off about things we don't know what we're talking about at times.
The league's in-house, own network, partners with the team and all of that. And you're just like, bro, if I'm with the Padres, if I'm in the Padres organization, I see that, I go, hey, Brian, what's your effing problem, dude? Are you insane? Are you kidding me?
I will give you a litany of reasons why that would be an insane idea at the moment. Insane. But we will. It should be a good show today. Obviously, we're going to get through without Woods.
The conversation starts and ends with, "Hey, you know what a no trade clause is, Brian?"
That's number one. That wasn't even brought up.
It never is.
It never is brought up
when these morons have this conversation seemingly once a year. Like, it starts and ends there, and then I just like to dump on Brian Kenny because it's just gotten comical.
Segment in which, I don't know how long it was, about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Dead air would have been more intelligent if they had just gone to the color bars and the tone for 3 minutes. You would have been a more informed, intelligent baseball fan than having listened to that conversation between Brian Kenny and Dan O'Dowd yesterday.
Yeah, 100%.
Literally. All right, that's why Ben's in a bit of a feisty, spicy mood this morning.
I like it.
But maybe that's a good thing when Woods isn't here. Someone has to bring a little feistiness and spiciness while Woods is away. So we will come back. We'll set the menu. We got guests today. It's a Big League Wednesday. We'll let you know what's coming up on the program when we come back. Kelly Danik with our first check of traffic. Then Ben and Paul off and rolling. We'll also pay off our incorporator from yesterday with Jesse Agler. He snuck it in. Wasn't exactly the
There's
proper
debate
definition,
here.
But that's one of Jesse's little tricks that he uses to get the incorporator in. We will hear how he did it last night. Coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're very scarred as a fan base when you feel elated. Padres actually had their opening day starter going yesterday. I know Yu Darvish had been on the injured list, so you didn't know exactly what you were going to get and how long he was going to pitch for, but Yu was outstanding for his 5 innings. The Reds, meanwhile, were going with the swing man. We know, you know, the role that Nick Martinez played for the Padres last year, sixth starter, emergency fill-in guy. Normally, you feel really good about those matchups when your number one guy is going against their fill-in guy. I never really felt good until the Padres jumped out to a 5-0 lead yesterday. We will get into our Padres wrap-up early in the show today, coming up in our next segment on the menu. We'll talk about Mike Schilt's gamble. We'll hear from the skipper talking about that decision. Wasn't, at least in hindsight for Mike Schilt, didn't seem like it was a particularly tough decision. He'll go through the thought process of taking a run off the scoreboard and giving Manny Machado another opportunity with the bases loaded there in the bottom of the fifth inning. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, with Woods gone, we're going to have our friend from down the hall, John Flynn from KSON, is going to come into play, take on John, and give a Tier 1 one of the last chances to qualify for our monthly grand prize trip to Las Vegas. I think we should have a new prize next week, Paulie.
Yeah, we're still in the month of April, even though today is May 1st.
Yes, so through today, and then on Friday, last chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. So if you haven't gotten in yet...
John, he's played a couple of times. He's pretty good.
He's not bad, but
pretty
he's not...
good. He knows his stuff.
He's not Woods. Though,
right.
So if you want to try to sneak in while the cat's away, the mice can try to play against John.
John is the Nick Lodolo of the building.
You didn't know.
Not super confident, not really sure what to expect, and then he can just shove up against you.
It is possible. It's possible. I don't think there's any country categories today, but he knows music other than the KSON staples. But we'll play Take on John coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. That's also when we'll get back into the Brian Kenny outrageous discussion we brought up in the open. Don't do this. And then it is a Big League Wednesday here at 7:35. We will chat with the 5-time MLB All-Star Adam Jones will be with us. In the 8 o'clock hour, Brett Boone is going to join us at 8:35. Always enjoy our conversations with Booney. He was at the Padres game with some of his fellow Padres alums over the weekend. So we'll talk about Brett's experiences, who he talked to, what he's observed from the San Diego Padres here early in the season, and specifically, you know, the 5-game losing streak that just ended it. He's been pretty positive on the Padres, what he's seen. I wonder if that's changed at all based on the last week and the struggles that the team has had. Paulie's got a Rindle report. We got some more Legion tickets to give away. I'd like to have either or both. Maybe Craig and Annie can come in for a little crossover today since we have an open chair with Woods off. So maybe in our last segment we'll get into some conversations with Annie and Elston to wrap up the Wednesday program. But I do want to pay off our incorporator from yesterday. Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, joins us each and every Tuesday. And yesterday, at the end of our 8:30 conversation, I gave him the incorporator word of the day. Here's the setup. Speaking of the ship sinking, we've got a nautical term for you today on the incorporator. Today's word is
baggy wrinkle.
There it is.
We said it in
chorus.
Baggy wrinkle.
Baggy wrinkle.
Oh, I thought you were going to do poop deck.
No, baggy wrinkle. It's a soft covering for cables to reduce sail chafe.
Chafe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun one.
So you don't want those ropes tearing a hole in the sail. So you put the baggy wrinkle, which is kind of like a soft material that goes around the cords to make sure that your
sail
stays in good shape.
We call them lines on a ship.
Oh, lines.
Oh,
you're a sailing man.
I didn't know you were a sailor.
All right. So that was the setup.
So that was definitely going to be a difficult word to incorporate into a baseball broadcast.
That's the object of the game.
Baggy wrinkle. However, Jesse has his ways, he has his tactics, and he went with a strategy yesterday. I believe this was after the seventh inning stretch
yesterday. Top of the eighth.
So this is when the Padres had actually made it that nothing happened that inning. They actually struck out, but there was a couple of questionable strike zone calls. Was it during a Ha-Sung Kim at bat? Someone was up and like three straight balls right at the knees were all called balls. And David Bell, who is known for being a feisty manager, apparently lost his mind during the inning break, went out and got ejected. Jesse described it, and this is where he chose to work in his incorporator words. So here's the coming back for the top of the eighth inning last night.
1-0 pitch, Steer hits it hard but foul the other way out of play. He was ejected and he really got his money's worth. He was face to face with Blazer. At one point, you could see Blazer pat his chest and say, "I'm trying my best," which I guess is really all you can say if you're an umpire. 1-1 to Steer as Matsui kicks and deals. Pitch swung on and missed, strike two. So Bell was out there, really got his money's worth, screaming, yelling, ranting, raving. 28th career ejection for David Bell. And then walking back to the dugout, the Reds, of course, have all their weights and rosin bags and stuff on their on-deck area. And Bell kicked them like a place kicker and knocked them all over the place. They had gotten out of their baggy wrinkle and they were just sort of all sprayed about. And quite a show put on by David Bell. 1-2 to Steer, swung on and missed strike three.
Got out of their baggy wrinkle.
Hmm.
He made it sound like that word was maybe a synonym for a
Like a bucket?
A brouhaha? No. I thought he said
he kicked like the bat weights and all the stuff in the on-deck circle.
Can you go play just the last part again? I think he was referring to the argument between David Bell and home plate umpire Corey Blazier. They got out of their baggy wrinkle.
The Reds, of course, have all their weights and rosin bags and stuff on their on-deck area. And Bell kicked them like a place kicker and knocked them all over the place. They had gotten out of their baggy wrinkle, and they were just sort of all...
You're right.
And quite a show put on by David Bell.
He was referring to, like, maybe they keep it all in a big sack, baggy wrinkle.
Bat weights, pine tar,
Their stuff in the on-deck circle. It's a soft covering. Well, maybe that is a more accurate use of the word baggy wrinkle. I thought the funniest part of that, though, was the umpire... I can just see him with getting screamed at by a Major League Baseball manager who's been ejected close to 30 times in his career, just going, I'm trying my best.
At one point, you could see Blazier pat his chest and say, I'm trying my best.
I don't know if that's the...
That probably makes it worse,
best
right?
tactic for an umpire. Lay off me. I'm trying my best.
Leave me alone, David. I'm trying my best.
The strange part is that at bat ended in a strikeout. There may have been extra pitches that needed to be thrown because of all the balls that were called on pitches that looked like they were actually in the strike zone at the knees, but it did end in a strikeout. I can see a manager losing their mind if they feel like you walked that guy on bad calls. He came around to score. We're trying to come back. You're hurting us here. All it may have done was cost a relief pitcher like two or three extra pitches to get the strikeout. Is that something that is really worth losing your mind and getting ejected and possibly breaking your toe?
David Bell's a little bit of a lunatic.
Kicking a donut, like a weighted donut.
28 career ejections?
Yeah. Kicking a weighted donut over a call which actually ended up going your team's way. The guy struck the Padres batter, and I can't remember if it was Cam or who it was, struck out at the end of that plate appearance, and he still lost his mind on the umpire in between the innings. Very odd. Jesse sneaks in baggy wrinkle, though, into the explanation there in the top of the eighth inning. All right, we'll come back. We will go through the highlights and the wherefores of last night's game. 6-4 win over the Cincinnati Reds. Great performance by Yu Darvish. Strategic decision by Mike Schilt that paid off big time in the bottom of the fifth inning. Get to that coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Turns out, sometimes good things happen when you don't fall behind in the first inning and have to play catch-up the entire game. Padres, after having a lead for exactly one half of one inning over the previous four games, never trailed last night at Petco Park. And finally got a home night victory. Just their second of the season, Paulie.
That's wild. Made it through the entire month and had two home night wins.
Right. And one of them, they fell behind 8-0 and had to come from behind.
Yes.
Both of the games, interestingly enough, started by Yu Darvish.
What was the probability in that one?
99.2 or something. They were like 0.8% chance of winning that game, and they came back and won it. This one... the win probability was pretty good from the outset after the Padres took the lead in the third inning. We're going to go through the highlights, the unusual situation that presented itself in the fifth inning for Mike Schilt. Coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino is all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Now Tatis at second, one out. The 0-1 muscled into shallow right. India back over the shoulder, can't make the catch. Tatis got a great read, rounding third on his way. He will score. And Jake Cronenworth, an RBI single to give the Padres a 1-0 lead. 0-1 pitch. Fairchild busted in on the hands, rolls it right to third base. Wade's got it for the first, little high, but Cronenworth handles it. And that's all for the Reds here in the top of the fifth inning. No runs ahead. One man left on base. We are midway at Petco. Yu Darvish, 5 shutout innings in his return. Base is loaded, one out. Here's Machado. First pitch swinging. Laces it into the left center field gap. Wade has scored. Tatis has scored. Cronenworth is on his way. De La Cruz will not make a relay. A bases clearing double for Machado and a 4-0 Padre lead. Machado at second, 2 down. The 1-0 pitch. Jackson muscles it in the air to left field. Here comes Steer on the move, and he dropped it. Had it in the breadbasket and dropped it. Machado will come in and score, and Spencer Steer's nightmare in left continues. 5-0 Padres in the fifth. Here's the 0-1 pitch. India muscles it into right field. That's going to fall for a base hit. De La Cruz has scored. Steer's on his way. Fernando fires home, not in time. Two-run single for Jonathan India. The Reds are on the board, and it's 5-2 here in the sixth. 0-1, grounded to second base. India is coming home. Bad throw, not in time. Throw to first, not in time. And the Padres lead it 6-2. Certainly looked like he was going to have a shot at Kim, but the throw was on the wrong side of home plate. Mainly then tried to throw to first base, but with Fernando's speed, no chance. 0-2 pitch, and in the air to deep right field towards the Petco porch, and gone. A home run. Third of the year for Jamer Candelario. And now a three-run game, 6-3 here in the seventh. 2-0 pitch hit in the air to very deep center field. Jackson Merrill racing back. He's at the wall looking up. Going to go. Home run, Stuart Fairchild. Snaps in 0-18 of the dish. It's his first home run of the season. Second long ball of the inning against De Los Santos. And the Padre lead is now 6-4. Bases are empty. And Luke Maley, the batter, swings at the first pitch. Sends it in the air straightaway center field and deep. Merrill is back on the warning track. He's got room. And he makes the catch. The ball game is over. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Robert Suarez. The Padres stop the skid as they beat the Reds here tonight 6-4. And we will play a rubber match tomorrow afternoon.
We put it behind us, and it'll be a blip, and it'll be something we won't think about because we're going to go on and play good baseball and win series. We got a chance to do that tomorrow. But we're going to be better for it.
Mike Schilt says the 5-game losing streak will be a blip.
I hope so.
On the radar of the Padres season.
Sure.
Almost every team, maybe every team, will endure a 5-game losing streak at some point in the season. But if you want to, you know, get to the playoffs, they do have to be blips. The New York Mets started 0-5 this year. They're already back above 500. Actually have been for a while. So it's more than possible to bounce back from 5-game losing streaks early in the season in Major League Baseball. Padres get the 6-4 win yesterday over the Cincinnati Reds. I will say, though, and we got Pauly here, Woodsy's off today, there was that feeling early in the game of here we go again when the Padres loaded the bases in the bottom of the first inning against Nick Martinez and failed to score. Jurickson Profar opened the game with a single. Mm-hmm. He's been terrific after moving to the leadoff spot,
yeah,
by the way.
I think we've found our, at least in the interim, our new leadoff hitter.
Yeah, 3 more hits. And Padres actually got, I think, went 4-for-4 from the leadoff spot because after Jose Azokar came in as a defensive replacement, he got a nice single after a long at-bat as well. So the mm-hmm. Padres getting tons of production from the number one spot, but they couldn't cash in. Manny hit a kind of soft liner that Ellie De La Cruz made a nice play on at shortstop. That, you know, that could have been a great start to the game. But then Xander Bogaerts hits a weak fly ball that's not nearly deep enough to score the run. And Jackson Merrill hit one decent, but it ended up just being a medium deep fly out to end the inning. So the Padres don't score in the bottom of the first inning. And as a fan, immediately going, well, that's going to come back to haunt them in the game, not getting any runs in the first. But Yu Darvish came in and pitched, I think, retired the first 6 batters he faced, gave up just 3 singles in 5 innings, struck out 3, was efficient, needed just 70 pitches, and knowing he was on a limited pitch count after coming back from the injured list with his neck strain, that was about as good as you could have hoped for. To get through 5 innings with a lead, which the Padres took on a Jake Cronenworth RBI bloop single in the bottom of the 3rd inning, and then Yu Darvish putting up zeros after that. Again, that's been a big issue for the Padres as well. When they have scored, seems like every time the other team just then comes right back and answers to tie it or take the lead. Yu Darvish did not allow that in an outstanding effort off the injured list. So the Padres take that 1-0 lead from you into the bottom of the 5th inning. And that's where this game takes its unusual turn. Padres have runners at second and third with one out and Jake Cronenworth at the plate. He takes a swing and hits kind of a slow roller to the right side. Runner scores from third, and Jake is out at first base. But he's quickly pointing backwards, you know, hey, something happened there. And once again, Jake, who maybe it's just the nature of how he swings and how he, you know, brings his hands through. But once again, it's catcher's interference, and the umpire is on it. Yes, points at catcher's interference and brings Mike Shildt out because there's a decision to be made. The rule in Major League Baseball states that you have the choice on catcher's interference. You can either take your base, which would be an E2, and Jake gets first base, but the runner from third would not advance home on that. So he'd have to go back to third base so that you could have bases loaded and one out, or take the outcome of the play, run in, Padres take a 2-0 lead. That's doubling your lead, but there'd be two outs and just a runner on second base in that situation. And it doesn't take Mike Shildt very long to make the call. I want the bases loaded and one out. Take that run off the board, put Tyler Wade, I think it was, back at third base, and give Manny Machado a chance with the bases loaded. Manny, who has not been, you know, in a particularly hot stretch lately, had already had a chance earlier in the game with no outs and the bases loaded and didn't come through there. But it didn't take long for Mike Shildt to be proven right. First pitch off Nick Martinez, Manny Machado laces that double into the gap. All three runs score. Padres end up with a four-run inning, take a 5-0 lead, and ultimately that was the difference in the game as the Padres held on for the 6-4 win. So I thought A.J. Cassavell, who we had on yesterday, he did a great job. Before the game was even over, he had run a statistical analysis and written a piece for MLB.com showing that at least in an average situation, that you are expected to get more runs in an inning with the bases loaded and one out than you are with one run in, two outs, and a runner on second base. It was the difference was like 0.2 runs. With the run in, you're expected to get another 0.35, I think it was, so 1.35 runs.
Yeah, Eno summarized it,
Did it as well, similarly.
He said, guy on second with two outs and one run in the bank is worth 1.3 runs.
Okay.
The one in the bank already plus 0.3 expected. And bases loaded with one out is 1.5 expected runs. So by run expectancy purely, it was the right move.
So that's not exactly why Mike Shildt. I don't think he has a, you know, calculator in his head. I think he was going more instinctually, and he just simply thought, I got, you know, bases loaded. I got Manny Machado coming up. Here's what Mike Shildt had to say after the game about the decision to take a run off a board for a team that has been struggling to score and gamble that they could get more in that inning.
Talking to TJ Lucido, has you ever had the opportunity to make the decision about and then actually take a run off the board? And I'm like, no, probably won't happen again. And then I went to my Charlotte Mecklenburg public education and said, okay, let me do some math here. All right, we can take one off, which is important. We need to score runs. And then, oh, we can have the base loaded with one out and Manny Machado. I'm going to bet on Manny Machado. So that was the bet, and, you know, took one off and added three. So nice swing by Manny.
Good bet, as I saw earlier in our YouTube chat. Maybe we should take Mike Shildt to 7 Mile Casino if he's that good at analyzing the odds on the fly and knowing what he should do in a situation like that. But instinctually, Mike Shildt was right that the Padres should be better off going with the bases loaded situation for Manny Machado. And by the way, it made a difference in his mind that it was Manny Machado up and not, say, Kyle Higashioka coming to the plate. No insult intended, Kyle, but this is Manny Machado. This is a superstar player, and that definitely, according to Mike Shildt, played into his logic.
Well, it's definitely part of it. I mean, I trust our guys, and Manny's part of our club, so I trust him completely, and I want our big boys up in big situations. So that was a big part of the calculus. And then after that, I was like, all right, we're and out for a run with a guy at third base. No, I don't like it. Let's go ahead and load the base and get the out back. So it wasn't that challenging for me.
I was glad to hear in that first soundbite that we played from Shildt, how he goes, I'd never had this opportunity to do this. Probably never going to have it again. that tells me it really is as rare as you and I were discussing before the show. Like, have you ever seen that? I'm like, I mean, maybe it's happened and I just wasn't paying attention enough. Like, I've never seen that where an MLB manager, like, it's just usually this is the rule. Umpires letting you know, like, this is what's happening. Deal with it. You don't usually get that opportunity.
No, catcher's interference is just rare to begin with, unless you're Jake Cronenworth and it happens like once a week. But it's pretty rare to begin with. I don't know if there's another situation where you actually get a choice as the manager. Is I would like this outcome or this outcome. It's, as I said earlier, that's very football-esque, where a penalty flag is thrown,
right,
and you have the opportunity to take the result of the play or go back and replay the down with the yardage. And they do sometimes take points off the board. A field goal is good, but now you've got a chance to go for a touchdown and get a first down, and coaches will take those points off the board. Have not seen that in baseball before, but the gamble definitely paid off. Think about it this way. Had the Padres taken the run, they're up 2-0. Even if Manny Machado comes up, still doubles with two outs and makes it 3-0 with an RBI double, the next batter, Xander Bogaerts, made an out, so that's it. Instead of a 4-run inning and a 5-0 lead, it's a 2-run inning and a 3-0 lead. How many did the Padres win by? 2 runs in the end of the game. That's the difference. That decision is the difference in the game right there. So credit to Mike Schilt for going with his gut, and his gut not only being right, but also being statistically and mathematically correct in that situation. A couple other observations from the game yesterday.
Good to have you back.
It was great to have you, Darvish, back. The Reds gave away a lot of opportunities to the Padres. You can't count on that every day. Their defense, they committed 3 errors. I count another at least play or two, like the Tatis double in the third inning that was kind of at the very worst, should have been a single if they had played that right, but a dive by, I think, Steer got past him. He also lost that ball in the lights that turned into the Merrill RBI to wrap up that 4-run
blunder yesterday.
Fifth inning. The Cincinnati Reds did not play good defense. The Padres played a much cleaner game yesterday, and in that sense, definitely deserve to win that game. Maybe by more than they did, but
bro, when a team is scuffling like the Padres have for the last week, like you absolutely have to capitalize when a team is giving you mistakes like that.
And they did just enough. Was a little frustrating. It felt like the Padres bullpen has been really good at protecting 3-4 run deficits the last few days. Hey, yeah, the starters put them in a bad situation, but the bullpen held them right there until, they eventually lost the game at the end. They're finally given a lead, and a significant one at 5-0 and then 6-2. And Adrian Morejon, who had been untouchable, gives up 2 runs. Eniel De Los Santos, who had been untouchable, gives up 2 home runs. And you're going, turns out, sometimes good things happen when you don't fall behind in the first inning and have to play catch up the entire game. Padres, after having a lead for exactly 1/2 of 1 inning over the previous 4 games, never trailed last night at Petco Park, and finally got a home night victory. Just their 2nd of the season, Paulie.
That's wild. Made it through the entire month and had 2 home night wins.
Right. And one of them, they fell behind 8-0 and had to come from behind.
Yes.
Both of the games, interestingly enough, started by Yu Darvish.
What was the probability in that one?
99.2 or something. They were like 0.8% chance of winning that game, and they came back and won it. This one, the win probability was pretty good from the outset after the Padres took the lead in the 3rd inning. We're going to go through the highlights, the unusual situation that presented itself in the 5th inning for Mike Schilt. Coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino is all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Now Tatis at 2nd, 1 out. The 0-1 muscled into shallow right. India back over the shoulder, can't make the catch. Tatis got a great read, rounding 3rd on his way. He will score. And Jake Cronenworth, an RBI single to give the Padres a 1-0 lead. A 1 pitch, Fairchild busted in on the hands, rolls it right to third base. Wade's got it for the first, little high, but Cronenworth handles it. And that's all for the Reds here in the top of the fifth inning. No runs ahead, one man left on base. We are midway at Petco. Yu Darvish, 5 shutout innings in his return. Bases loaded, one out. Here's Machado, first pitch swinging, laces it into the left center field gap. Wade has scored. Tatis has scored. Cronenworth is on his way. De La Cruz will not make a relay. A bases clearing double for Machado and a 4-0 Padre lead. Machado at second, 2 down. The 1-0 pitch. Jackson muscles it in the air to left field. Here comes Steer on the move, and he dropped it. Had it in the bread basket and dropped it. Machado will come in and score, and Spencer Steer's nightmare in left continues. 5-0 Padres in the fifth. Here's the 0-1 pitch. India muscles it into right field. That's going to fall for a base hit. De La Cruz has scored. Steer's on his way. Fernando fires home, not in time. A 2-run single for Jonathan India. The Reds are on the board, and it's 5-2 here in the sixth. 0-1 grounded to second base. India is coming home. Bad throw, not in time. Throw to first, not in time. And the Padres lead it 6-2. Certainly looked like he was going to have a shot at Kim, but the throw was on the wrong side of home plate. Mainly then tried to throw to first base, but with Fernando's speed, no chance. 0-2 pitch, hit in the air to deep right field towards the Petco porch, and gone. A home run. Third of the year for Jamer Candelario. And now a 3-run game, 6-3 here in the seventh. 2-0 pitch, hit in the air to very deep center field. Jackson Merrill racing back. He's at the wall, looking up, gonna go. Home run, Stuart Fairchild. Snaps in 0-18 of the dish. It's his first home run of the season. Second long ball of the inning against De Los Santos. And the Padre lead is now 6-4. Bases are empty. And Luke Maley, the batter, swings at the first pitch. Sends it in the air, straightaway center field and deep. Merrill is back on the warning track. He's got room. And he makes the catch. The ball game is over. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Robert Suarez. The Padres stop the skid as they beat the Reds here tonight 6-4. And we will play a rubber match tomorrow afternoon.
We put it behind us, and it'll be a blip, and it'll be something we won't think about because we're going to go on and play good baseball and win series. We got a chance to do that tomorrow. But we're going to be better for it.
Mike Schilt says the 5-game losing streak will be a blip.
I hope so.
On the radar of the Padres season.
Sure.
Maybe every team will endure a 5-game losing streak at some point in the season. But if you want to, you know, get to the playoffs, they do have to be blips. The New York Mets started 0-5 this year. They're already back above 500. Actually have been for a while. So it's more than possible to bounce back from 5-game losing streaks early in the season in Major League Baseball. Padres get the 6-4 win yesterday over the Cincinnati Reds. I will say, though, and we got Paulie here, Woodsy's off today, there was that feeling early in the game of here we go again when the Padres loaded the bases in the bottom of the first inning against Nick Martinez and failed to score. Jurickson Profar opened the game with a single. Mm-hmm. He's been terrific after moving to the leadoff spot,
yeah,
by the way.
I think we've found our, at least in the interim, our new leadoff hitter.
Yeah, 3 more hits. And Padres actually went 4-for-4 from the leadoff spot because after Jose Azokar came in as a defensive replacement, he got a nice single after a long at-bat as well. So the mm-hmm. Padres getting tons of production from the number one spot, but they couldn't cash in. Manny hit a kind of soft liner that Ellie De La Cruz made a nice play on at shortstop. That, you know, that could have been a great start to the game. But then Xander Bogaerts hits a weak fly ball that's not nearly deep enough to score the run. And Jackson Merrill hit one decent, but it ended up just being a medium deep fly out to end the inning. So the Padres don't score in the bottom of the first inning. And as a fan, immediately going, well, that's going to come back to haunt them in the game, not getting any runs in the first. But Yu Darvish came in and pitched, I think, retired the first 6 batters he faced, gave up just 3 singles in 5 innings, struck out 3, was efficient, needed just 70 pitches, and knowing he was on a limited pitch count after coming back from the injured list with his neck strain, that was about as good as you could have hoped for. To get through 5 innings with a lead, which the Padres took on a Jake Cronenworth RBI bloop single in the bottom of the third inning, And then Yu Darvish putting up zeros after that. Again, that's been a big issue for the Padres as well. When they have scored, seems like every time the other team then comes right back and answers to tie it or take the lead. Yu Darvish did not allow that in an outstanding effort off the injured list. So the Padres take that 1-0 lead from you into the bottom of the fifth inning. And that's where this game takes its unusual turn. Padres have runners at second and third with one out and Jake Cronenworth at the plate. He takes a swing and hits kind of a slow roller to the right side. Runner scores from third, and Jake is out at first base. But he's quickly pointing backwards, you know, hey, something happened there. And once again, Jake, who maybe it's just the nature of how he swings and how he, you know, brings his hands through. But once again, it's catcher's interference, and the umpire is on it. Yes, points at catcher's interference and brings Mike Shildt out because there's a decision to be made. The rule in Major League Baseball states that you have the choice on catcher's interference. You can either take your base, which would be an E2, and Jake gets first base, but the runner from third would not advance home on that, so he'd have to go back to third base. So that you could have bases loaded and one out, or take the outcome of the play, run in, Padres take a 2-0 lead. That's doubling your lead, but there'd be two outs and just a runner on second base in that situation. And it doesn't take Mike Shildt very long to make the call. I want the bases loaded and one out. Take that run off the board, put Tyler Wade, I think it was, back at third base, and give Manny Machado a chance with the bases loaded. Manny, who has not been, you know, in a particularly hot stretch lately, had already had a chance earlier in the game with no outs and the bases loaded and didn't come through there. But it didn't take long for Mike Shildt to be proven right. First pitch off Nick Martinez, Manny Machado laces that double into the gap. All three runs score. Padres end up with a 4-run inning, take a 5-0 lead, and ultimately that was the difference in the game as the Padres held on for the 6-4 win. So I thought A.J. Casavell, who we had on yesterday, he did a great job. Before the game was even over, he had run a statistical analysis and written a piece for MLB.com showing that at least in an average situation, that you are expected to get more runs in an inning with the bases loaded and one out than you are with one run in, two outs, and a runner on second base. The difference was like 0.2 runs. With the run in, you're expected to get another 0.35, I think it was, so 1.35 runs.
Yeah, Eno summarized it,
Did it as well, similarly.
He said, guy on second with two outs and one run in the bank is worth 1.3 runs.
Okay.
The one in the bank already plus 0.3 expected. And bases loaded with one out is 1.5 expected runs. So by run expectancy purely, it was the right move.
So that's not exactly why Mike Shildt. I don't think he has a calculator in his head. I think he was going more instinctually. And he just simply thought, I got bases loaded. I got Manny Machado coming up. Here's what Mike Shildt had to say after the game about the decision to take a run off a board for a team that has been struggling to score and gamble that they could get more in that inning.
Talking to TJ Lucido, has you ever had the opportunity to make the decision about and then actually take a run off the board? And I'm like, no, probably won't happen again. And then I went to my Charlotte Mecklenburg public education and said, okay, let me do some math here. All right, we can take one off, which is important. We need to score runs. And then, oh, we can have the base loaded with one out and Manny Machado. I'm going to bet on Manny Machado. So that was the bet, and, took one off and added three. So nice swing by Manny.
Good bet, as I saw earlier in our YouTube chat. Maybe we should take Mike Shildt to 7 Mile Casino if he's that good at analyzing the odds on the fly and knowing what he should do in a situation like that. But instinctually, Mike Shildt was right that the Padres should be better off going with the bases loaded situation for Manny Machado. And by the way, it made a difference in his mind that it was Manny Machado up and not, say, Kyle Higashioka coming to the plate. No insult intended, Kyle, but this is Manny Machado. This is a superstar player, and that definitely, according to Mike Shildt, played into his logic.
Well, it's definitely part of it. I mean, I trust our guys, and Manny's part of our club, so I trust him completely, and I want our big boys up in big situations, so that was a big part of the calculus. And then after that, I was like, all right, and out for a run with a guy at third base. No, I don't like it. Let's go ahead and load the base and get the out back. So it wasn't that challenging for me.
I was glad to hear in that first soundbite that we played from Schilte how he goes, I'd never had this opportunity to do this. Probably never going to have it again. That tells me it really is as rare as you and I were discussing before the show. Like, have you ever seen that? I'm like, I mean, maybe it's happened and I just wasn't paying attention enough. Like, I've never seen that where an MLB manager, like, it's just usually this is the rule. Umpires letting you know, like, this is what's happening. Deal with it. You don't usually get that opportunity.
No, catcher's interference is just rare to begin with, unless you're Jake Cronenworth and it happens like once a week. But it's pretty rare to begin with. I don't know if there's another situation where you actually get a choice as the manager. Is I would like this outcome or this outcome. It's, as I said earlier, that's very football-esque, where a penalty flag is thrown, right, and you have the opportunity to take the result of the play. Or go back and replay the down with the yardage. And they do sometimes take points off the board. A field goal is good, but now you've got a chance to go for a touchdown and get a first down, and coaches will take those points off the board. Have not seen that in baseball before, but the gamble definitely paid off. Think about it this way. Had the Padres taken the run, they're up 2-0. Even if Manny Machado comes up, still doubles with two outs and makes it 3-0 with an RBI double, the next batter, Xander Bogaerts, made an out, so that's it. Instead of a 4-run inning and a 5-0 lead, it's a 2-run inning and a 3-0 lead. How many did the Padres win by? 2 runs in the end of the game. That's the difference. That decision is the difference in the game right there. So credit to Mike Schilt for going with his gut, and his gut not only being right, but also being statistically and mathematically correct in that situation. A couple other observations from the game yesterday.
Good to have you back.
It was great to have you, Darvish, back. The Reds gave away a lot of opportunities to the Padres. You can't count on that every day. Their defense, they committed 3 errors. I count another at least play or two, like the Tatis double in the third inning that was kind of at the very worst should have been a single if they had played that right, but a dive by, I think, Steer got past him. He also lost that ball in the lights that turned into the Merrill RBI to wrap up that 4-run
blunder yesterday.
Fifth inning. The Cincinnati Reds did not play good defense. The Padres played a much cleaner game yesterday, and in that sense, definitely deserve to win that game. Maybe by more than they did. But
bro, when a team is scuffling like the Padres have for the last week, like you absolutely have to capitalize when a team is giving you mistakes like that.
And they did just enough. Was a little frustrating. It felt like the Padres bullpen has been really good at protecting 3-4 run deficits the last few days. Hey, yeah, the starters put them in a bad situation, but the bullpen held them right there until, you know, they eventually lost the game at the end. They're finally given a lead, and a significant one at 5-0 and then 6-2. And Adrian Morejon, who had been untouchable, gives up 2 runs. Eniel De Los Santos, who had been untouchable, gives up 2 home runs, and you're going, you could have done this all the other games when you were going to lose anyway. You were already down big, but you finally get a lead from your offense, and the bullpen makes it nervous time in the last couple of innings. Credit to Robert Suarez for coming in. The 1-2-3 ninth inning didn't dominate with his strikeouts, but got his 10th save, and the Padres do end that losing streak at 5 and have a chance for another series win. I think if they win today's game, the Padres will be 4-1-1 in their last 6 series. For a team that feels like they're in a big rut,
right,
you don't usually say, oh yeah, Padres been struggling the last few weeks. Oh, they've also won 4 of 6 series. They tied the other one in Colorado, and they lost the one to the Philadelphia Phillies. The problem is that you're not sweeping any of the series you win, and you got swept in the series
right. You
lose. That's why the Padres need to go on their own winning streak. They need to sweep a series at some point. Obviously, it's not going to happen today against the Cincinnati Reds, but you want the series victory and head off to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks this weekend when you get back out on the road.
Well, speaking of that bullpen that you were just talking about, there was a move made before yesterday's game activating Yu Darvish, and we had talked about it yesterday. Tom Cosgrove optioned down to El Paso.
Yeah, Mike Schilt did say this is probably a temporary short-term move to just allow Tom Cosgrove to try to sharpen up a little bit, get a little more command on the breaking balls that have not been as effective this season as they were last year. They're going to need Tom Cosgrove back at some point. And I don't expect him to be in AAA for a long time, but he was the, you know, he had just been used, made sense to send him down. He's got options. Go down, maybe a relief appearance or two at AAA. Hopefully he'll get locked into where he was last year. But that move made sense. You know, a lot of people thought, why not the Rule 5 guy? Why not Steven Kolek and just finish with it? At this point, I have no problem with Tom Cosgrove getting a couple of opportunities at AAA before he comes back. Last thought on the game yesterday. Attendance, 36,769. Didn't look quite as crowded at the beginning. Obviously, there was no giveaway, no beanie or anything. But that's still, for a team on a five-game losing streak, pretty impressive, Padres fans. You are still showing up and give you a pat on the back. That is very impressive for a Tuesday night with no giveaway. You know, Cincinnati Reds in town. It's not like it's the Dodgers or anything. Good job by Padres fans at Petco Park. All right, we'll come back. Brian Kenny in the crosshairs on MLB Network next on Ben and Woods.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.